All right, listeners, this is Grey Goose, and you're listening to 91.5 WGLZ. We have a very special guest with us here on the line today. He's a very accomplished pianist. We have Mr. Norman Krieger with us. Norman, how are you today?
I'm just great. So nice to be with you.
Wonderful. We're glad you were able to phone in today.
Me too.
So you've recently put out a few new pieces of music that are regarding Brahms.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about those a little bit? What made you choose Piano Concerto No. 2 and Sonata No. 1?
Well, you know, the second piano concerto is certainly one of the greatest works of art that exists, as well as being one of the most challenging pieces written for the pianist. The first sonata is also extremely challenging, but I thought it would be an interesting pair to put something on a recording that was the early Brahms and then the mature Brahms. So that's what I did. And I'm very happy with how my colleagues collaborated with me. And, you know, I gave it really my best effort at the time. You know, when you record, it's very different from a concert, even though I must say that these particular performances were done in very large takes. There was very little editing done afterwards. So this is, I think, an honest representation of what we did on those 2 days.
Wonderful. Now, is this the first time you've ever done Brahms and released it, or have you released previous works of his?
Oh, I have released his first piano concerto with the Virginia Symphony and Joanne Folletto.
Ooh, very nice. Now, this most recent one was with the London Symphony, correct?
Yes.
What was it like being able to work with the London Symphony on a project of this magnitude?
Well, it was quite a great honor and privilege for me, and also we recorded at Abbey Road, which was, you know, iconic place. But they're just so professional and easy to work with. You know, once the red light goes on and we start recording, we start making music, and you know, when musicians get together, that's what we do. So the focus is really on the composer and representing the composer and forgetting oneself. You know, you only have a certain amount of time to record, and during that, you know, those few hours, you really just try to give your best and listen to each other and listen to the producer, listen to the conductor, and have faith that all is going to turn out well.
Absolutely, and based on what we've heard from the most recent releases, it turned out really well.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. Now, I want to discuss a little bit about your background. How did you first become involved in music?
That's a very long sort of answer, but the short answer would be that I grew up in a home where music was not an option, meaning, I mean, I had to study an instrument. And I started with the violin and then switched to the piano. But I had to study an instrument. That was just the rule in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And then my mother started taking me to concerts, and I heard great artists like Jascha Heifetz and Arthur Rubinstein and Gregor Piatigorsky and Rudolf Serkin. And that really inspired me to improve my playing. And then I discovered shortly after that this is really what I wanted to devote my life to.
Well, that is wonderful. Now, how many instruments can you play?
I can really only play the piano. I mean, I don't remember anything of how to play the violin or the clarinet. I studied the bassoon as well in junior high school, but I gravitated to the piano because I could play 10 notes at once.
Mm-hmm.
And not take responsibility for intonation.
Very good. Now, having been involved in the arts for such a long time, I'm sure you've seen with a lot of schools, that's one of the main things that gets cut out of their budget right out of the gate is towards the fine arts.
Yes, it's terrible.
It really is. How important is that to a child's upbringing to have that exposure to the fine arts, whether it actually be music or the artistic side of it?
Well, I think it's such a gift to be able to learn not only about music and art, but, you know, you learn about history through music. You learn about different cultures. And you can actually connect with cultures from, you know, 300 years ago. It's like a time travel, you know. And it also teaches you discipline. It teaches young people about a process, you know. We're living in an age where everything is instant gratification through technology and almost a requirement in terms of how we study and what we expect of our kids in school. But the arts, I think what's so miraculous about great art and classic art, which means art that will remain, that's why we call it classical music, because it's, you know, music that will remain, is it sort of gets back in line with the natural rhythm of nature and the way the universe is set up. You know, I always compare it to a tree. You know, when you plant a seed of a tree and you water it, it's not going to grow and become a full tree overnight. It's a process that takes nurturing and time. And as you develop those skills of, you know, mastering the instrument or whatever, you know, dance or painting, you learn so much about the creative process, and really that's the way the human being is really set up. You know, yes, there are some people that are athletes. It doesn't mean that you have to become a professional musician or a professional artist, but it's part of being cultured, you know, of having a solid background where you can relate, not in a myopic sort of black and white kind of way to life, but that you can have a nuanced understanding of different cultures, of different peoples. You know, it's a broader view. I think it gives young people a broader view and more compassion and empathy to their fellow human beings. So I guess the underlining statement for me is it's about humanity and celebrating humanity.
Absolutely. I could not agree more with you on that subject. The arts are the arts are very important. I didn't have a lot of upbringing in the arts. The schools that I went to didn't really promote them as much as I would have hoped.
Mm.
But the older I got, the more I was able to have access to the fine music of yesteryears and even the fine artists. So being able to actually get that exposure, it definitely helps you develop as a human, both from an emotional standpoint and an educational standpoint. So hopefully in the coming years, schools will be able to see that and actually promote it better.
I hope so. You know, it's very funny. There's a wonderful story about Einstein, where he played he was an amateur violinist, quite a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing with a very famous pianist named Arthur Schnabel. And at one point in the rehearsal, Schnabel threw up his hands and he said, "Albert, can't you count?" And then he realized what he said. So they both burst out laughing. Because, of course, you know, Einstein was a mathematician. You know, you have to count in music. But it had a different... well, maybe a similar relation. I don't know. Relative.
Absolutely. Relative is the perfect word to use in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get ready to wrap up, but we're going to circle back around to the music you just put out. Where can we find this music at if someone would be interested in hearing it?
Oh, well, you can go to my website, and you can purchase it directly from there.
Wonderful.
What, NormanKrieger.com.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's NormanKrieger.com.
There you go, listeners. So for anyone that wants to hear that, go to his website and check it out. Now, what can we be expecting from you in the future? Do you have any plans for your next work?
You know, right now I'm just preparing for my concerts this summer, which are actually focused on the music of Leonard Bernstein because of this anniversary that we're having in 2018, 100th anniversary. So I'll be playing his second symphony, which is really a work for piano and orchestra. It's called The Age of Anxiety, based on the W.H. Auden poem, and a bunch of chamber music. I'm hoping to make some more recordings of the music of Schubert and Beethoven and Brahms. Those are my guys. And Mozart as well. So stay tuned.
Well, great. You have some very great taste in music, so we look forward to hearing what you have to give us.
Thank you so much.
And if you're ever in the Pittsburgh area, head down to Wheeling. We still have a symphony in Wheeling. It's been around for almost 90 years now. So if you ever get a chance to come by, check them out.
I just played with them 2 years ago with The wonderful conductor. I played there twice, actually.
Wonderful. I had no idea. That would have been when I was still in high school, so...
Oh, okay.
Well, we're glad you were able to make it to the area.
Thank you so much.
Well, Norman, thank you so much for joining us here today, and we wish you the best of success.
Thank you. Best wishes.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, that was Norman Krieger. We are now going to get back to the music. Here is Norman Krieger, Brahms Piano Concerto No. 2 in B-flat, here on the Hilltops Hit Music Station, 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty.